Of course, Habakkuk is not referred to as a minor prophet because of its content being less important than, say, Isaiah, Jeremiah, that was referred to as the major prophets. But those terms are pinned on those books because of volume, not value. All of it's the Word of God. It's important. It's inspired of God, and we certainly thank the Lord for it. But in chapter 3 of Habakkuk, we'll begin reading. We'll read verse 16 down through verse number 19, the closing verses. And I would ask you to pray for us tonight. Pray with us as well. The Bible says, "When I heard my belly tremble, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble." Now, you need to read, of course, the entire book. You can do that in one setting very easily. To see the turmoil, to see the judgment of God, specifically in chapter 2, God is judging sin. And we need to know that. America, I think, has forgotten that. I think a lot of churches have forgotten the fact that we serve a God that must deal with sin. And He will. Our country's not going to get by with condoning what God condemns. I mean, that's right. We've got the, we've got the most pro-abortion president that we've ever had. Probably got the most sympathetic, supporting homosexual, supporting president that we've ever had. You know? But God's still going to deal with sin. God's going to deal with sin. In fact, in chapter 2, if you read it after you get home, you can find where God deals with several things throughout chapter number 2, one of which He deals with is drunkenness. Drunkenness. And God's going to deal with our country about that. Amen. Amen. I like it. That's true. Amen. Listen, our country has developed all kind of anti-smoking laws, and all that stuff, and I'm all for that. Praise God. I hope they have to dig a hole in the backyard where they can get in it and smoke. Amen. Amen. It won't bother me. I mean, I don't care. But why don't they deal as severe with alcoholism? There's been a lot more damage done to our country through that than there has been through tobacco. Say amen right there. But one of the reasons they're not dealing with that is because of the tax revenue. The love of money is the root of all evil. We're not going to deal with this. It's padding our pockets, paying our bills, and so forth. Yeah, and it's sending multiplied hundreds of thousands of people to hell too. Amen. But anyway, in chapter 2, he's dealing with idolatry and drunkenness and covetousness and all that. He's dealing with sin. It's days of trouble. Habakkuk says, "I'm dealing with days of trouble. Am I to be troubled in troubled times?" Now that seems to be a natural thing. If I'm in troubled times, then I need to be troubled. But that here, Habakkuk in chapter 3, verse 16, he said, "My desire is that I might find rest in the days of trouble." Amen? A lot of times we think rest is the doing away of the storm. That's going to be our peace. But no, sometimes God, instead of doing away with the storm, God steals our heart. God gives us peace in our heart in the midst of the storm. And so Habakkuk is saying that I might find rest in the day of trouble. That sounds like what Jesus said to His disciples there in John 14 and verse number 1. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Amen? Troubled times are around us. Amen. You're not exempt from them. They're coming. They're here. There's financial trouble days. There's physical trouble days. There's political trouble days. There are international trouble days. Every way you look, every facet of life, there is days of trouble in them. But God does not design His people to be troubled in troubled times. But rather, God's people have a peace, the peace of God in our soul. And Habakkuk said that I might find rest in the day of trouble when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. Verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olives shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. You know what I just read? I just read about their economic crash. All of that I read was their livelihood. What I just read in verse 17 was their means of living. Crops and vines and fruit and olive business and all of that. That was their economic situation. And he said that all has collapsed because of the invasion of the merciless enemies that had come into their land and taken captive the people and destroyed their crops. Things look bleak. Things look bad. Things look hopeless. But notice how he responds in verse number 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. He didn't say, yet I will complain. He didn't say, yet I will murmur. He didn't say, yet I will quit. I will be unfaithful. I'll throw in the towel. I'll no longer go to church, read my Bible, pray, give to the work of God, witness. He didn't say none of that. Here's what he said. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll not rejoice in the land. Verse 17 described the land. You can't rejoice in the land a lot of times, but you can always rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Amen. The one reason many times we're not, and I'll deal with this a little later, but one of the reasons we're not rejoicing in the Lord is because the land has become bigger than the Lord. And then when the land's in trouble, we're troubled because that was their security. That was their securities. And if they crumbled and fell apart. But Habakkuk said, I want you to know my securities is not on the vine. Amen. My securities is not what's coming out of the fields. My security is in the Lord. And he said, I'm going to rejoice, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make me like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Amen. So I trust you pray for us tonight. I preach in on security in an insecure world. God's people can enjoy security even when there are collapse of securities. When things that we have confidence in and that we depend on, when they become unstable, when they become shaky, when they become uncertain, when it looks like we don't know if they're coming or going. Amen. God said we can still rejoice. Why? Because our security, my friend, is in a person, not in prosperity. Our security is not, my friend, in politicians. Our security is in the sovereign God of heaven who cannot change. Who cannot change. Amen? You remember this morning, we gave you a definition of what it is that constitutes insecurity. What is it that constitutes insecurity? Number one, we talked about that it's what it cannot change, or what is subject to change is something that's insecure. And everything that's mentioned in verse 17 can change and did. What is the Murphy's Law? Whatever can go wrong will. Huh? But we're not governed by Murphy's Law. Amen. We're governed by the Master's Law. Yeah. Amen? The Master's Law says when things seem to go wrong, I've got a plan. I've got something bigger in mind. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and give you a little part of a message I'm working on. Brother Craig mentioned Wednesday night about his job situation, and he mentioned the term let down. I don't know if he even remembers that. Well, that went into my heart, went home. I started a message on that very thought, that very subject, went through the Bible and found where people have been let down. But I found out where they were let down. They weren't let down, they were let loose. Amen. Well, I ain't going to give you no more on that. I'll preach that later. Amen. Maybe next Sunday. But anyway, thank God. I'm glad we have a God that's in charge. Amen. I like that. When something is subject to change, it is insecure. When something is beyond my control, then it is insecure. A lot of things in life we're dependent on, we can't control it. It may be here today and gone today. A lot of things in life we're putting our confidence in and we're building our future on cannot be controlled, Brother David. It can be just, it's just like that. It's like the wind. It could be blown through here and gone. God, I believe through Habakkuk, and this is just one of the passages that we're going to try to focus in on in this, ever how many parts of this message the Lord wants. But there are several passages that shows us that God does not want our dependence to be on things. God does not want our dependence to be in people and places and positions and possessions. He wants our confidence to be in the Lord. And if our confidence, think about it, if our confidence and our dependence is in the Lord, nothing can happen to change that. Because He cannot change. He cannot be stolen. Nobody can break in and take our God away. Hallelujah. I mean, who could even hold Him? Who's going to break in and steal Him when the Bible said how big He is? Heaven's His throne and earth's His footstool. He measures the Milky Way. He measures the heavens with the span of His hand. Who's going to steal Him? Amen. But anyway, praise God. But if it's subject to change and it's out of my control, then it's a security that I don't need to put my trust in. That I don't need to put my confidence in. My confidence should be in the Lord. Amen. Amen. My confidence should be in the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. And I'm afraid that's going to mean much more to us than we realize in the days to come. Let me mention this quickly. Habakkuk, there's only three chapters. Habakkuk goes in chapter 1. Well, this is interesting, I think. Habakkuk goes in chapter number 1 from wandering. He's looked at the situation and he's scratching his head. God, how are you going to fix this? How are you going to work in this? But what I like, he goes from wandering in chapter 1 to worshiping in chapter 2 or 3. He starts the book out scratching his head and he ends the book by raising his hand and saying, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Now, which one of them chapters are you in? Scratching your head or praising God? Wondering what's happening, wondering what's going on, wondering where God is, wondering what God's going to do. Amen? But he went from chapter 1 wondering what's going on. Chapter 2, he went to watching what God was doing. He watched God deal with sin in chapter 2, but when he got to chapter 3, he went from wondering and watching to worshiping. You say, preacher, what God want to do with me? What does God want to do with me in my troubled days? He wants to take you from wondering to watching Him work and end up worshiping. Amen. The devil, I tell you, amen. The devil wants us to end up in chapter 1 instead of chapter 3. Instead of ending up worshiping, He wants us to end up worrying. He wants us to end up scratching our head and wondering, what is all this about? The key verse to Habakkuk is chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. or the just shall live by his faith. You know what Habakkuk said? The key to going from wondering to watching to end up worshiping is to live by faith, not by explanation, not by sight, not by feelings, amen, but by faith. Amen. I like that, don't you? Just shall live by faith. A lot of things we could say about it in chapter 2, but can I point this one out? Can I point this one out in verse 20, the last verse, chapter 2? But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. You know what I wrote in the, right beside that, right there? Wrote it today. He's still on the throne. Days of trouble, days of uncertainty, days of securities falling down and collapsing. Oh, but what are we going to do? Faith says we're going to keep watching on. We're going to keep trusting. We're going to keep believing. We're going to know that God is still in His holy temple. God is, we sang it, how many times have we sung that song? God is still on the throne. I know that's easy to say and easy to sing and easy to shout when things are going well. Come on now. When things are going well. But what about when things are not going well? What about in days of trouble? Church, I'm telling you, we better listen to this message. God is sending us a message to get us to look at our lives, not just as adults. I'm talking about young people. Look at our lives. What are we putting our dependence on or in? What are we having our confidence in? And once you answer that question, then ask yourself, can it be changed? What you're trusting in, can it change? Can it be lost? Can it be stolen? Can it die? Huh? Can politicians and economic situations, can they take that away? Common sense says if yes is the answer to all of that, then that I don't need to put that in my trust. I don't need to make that my confidence. I don't need to make that my dependence. I need to put my trust in someone that will not die, cannot be stolen, cannot be, amen, taken away, and that is God. The greatest thing that you and I can do of all ages, my friend, to face the future, my friend, is to, listen, to have God the center hub of our life. Amen. Well, amen. There's a lot we can say about that, but I want to go on. And what we've been trying to do, what we've been trying to do in this message is to show the difference, Brother John, and the distinction between securities and our security. Amen. There's a difference. There's a difference. When we start, the problem we mentioned this morning, when we start putting security in our securities, that's when problems come because our securities may change before tomorrow. Our securities may stop, may become bankrupt. You may suffer loss. Who knows? Are you listening? But none of those things will ever happen to God. And I'm trying to show us that we need to put our focus in the Lord. Hey, man, I'm going to get on into this right quick. Look, if you will, let me just get into this right quick in chapter 3. Look in chapter number 3. Let me just say some things about it really quick here. Verse 17, let me just show verse 17 and say some things about verse 17 in contrast to verse 18 and 19. Verse number 17 is my securities. Verse number 18 and 19 is my security. Amen. All right? Verse number 17 deals with my earthly. Verse number 18 and 19 deals with my heavenly. Right. You see it? The earthly is gone. The earthly is not producing. The earthly has been affected by invasion and by enemies and so forth. But verse number 18, praise God, and verse 19 is not affected. Could we get that in our heart tonight? What's affecting this earth is not affecting the heavenly. in case you've not looked up lately, there's quite a bit of space between the earthly and the heavenly. Amen. There's no ropes that hooked them together. Amen. There's no cords that's got us hooked together. There's no connection. What's affecting this earth here is not affecting our eternity. It's not affecting the heavenly. They're not worried up in heaven. People down here is worrying. They're not worrying in heaven. But verse 17 is the earthly. Verse 19, or 18 and 19 is the heavenly. Verse number 17 deals with what is gone. Verse number 18 and 19 deals with God. Now what is your focus? Amen. What is your focus? What's gone? Or God? What you've lost? Or the Lord? Amen. I believe the Lord's trying to help us now. I want help out of this. I don't know what my tomorrow is going to hold for me or for you as well. We none of us do. Amen. I'm blind to my future as far as circumstances and happenings. But guess what? I'm serving the one that's not blind. Amen. I'm serving the one that can see, as I said a while ago, both sides of the mountain from His perspective. Verse number 17 deals with the negative. Verse 18 and 19 deals with the positive. What's got your focus? Hey man, listen to me now. I'm telling you how easy it is. I know myself how easy it is to get focused on the negative instead of the positive. Can I say this? Lord, just put it in my heart. Every situation's got a positive. Amen. Job will testify to that. Amen. Every trial, there's a devil side and there's a divine side.
That's right.
The devil's going to put a negative in there, whereas God's going to put a positive in there. And I believe in every trial there's a positive, whether we see it or not, whether we want to see it or not. If we're not careful, all we'll ever see is the negative. All we'll ever see is verse 17. All we'll ever focus on is verse 17. Amen. Say amen right there. Maybe this message is just for me. Y'all pray for me, will you? But the prophet of God here is expressing his security even during the loss and lack of his securities. He said there'll be no fruit. Did you notice that in verse 17? He said there'll be no fruit. Here's another contrast. Let me give you this. Lord, give this to me while we got just a little bit ago. Verse 17 deals with what's around us. Verse 18 and 19 deals with who is above us.
Amen.
Now, what's got your focus? The what or the who? What's got our focus? The what that's around us, verse 17, or the who that's above us? That's amen. I thought that's good. Amen. No fruit. That is, there'll be no increase, no wealth. He said there in verse 17, he said, the olive shall fail. That word fail means to grow lean, to be insufficient. And I kept wondering about this definition. It means to be untrue or to lie. I seen that definition, I thought, now how in the world can that possibly be applied to this situation? The olive shall fail. I could see where it means insufficient. I could see where it means, you know, to grow lean and to be disappointing. But what about the definition of lie or untrue? Or deception is also the definition. And here's what it is. The crops look like they were going to yield a promise. But in the result end, it didn't produce. And thus the crops lied to me. It looked like it was going to be a good year. But in the end, there was nothing. Amen. There's a lot of things we could say about those definitions there in verse number 17, but I'll go on. I want you to notice what he says here in verse number 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Let me give you this and I'll be done. Number one, we're talking about our security. He's went away from verse 17, which is the securities that are lost, that are gone, that did not produce, that did not give us what we're looking for. So now in verse number 18, we're looking at our security, the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord. Amen. And here's what enabled Habakkuk to praise God and worship the God of heaven. He said, first of all, I want everybody to know that my security, the Lord, number one, for sake of outline, he said, number one, he said, He is my shout. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. That word rejoice means, amen, I know it's hard to put this definition in a Baptist church, but it means to jump for joy. Don't have it? Jump for it. Amen? Jump for joy. You say, but preacher, I can't jump for joy. No, not if you're hung up in verse 17. Oh! You can't jump for joy if you're still hung up in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 17. If that's your focus, if that's your heartbeat, what I don't have and what I've lost and what I used to have and the collapse of my securities. You can't shout. I mean, you could, but you won't. I tell you why you won't. Can I tell you why you won't? Your will is not involved. What did he say here? Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Yet, come on now, watch this right here. Next two words, crucial. I will. You know why he worshiped in spite of verse 17? His will got involved.
That's right. Amen.
I will do it. You know why we don't worship? Our will says no. Verse 17, listen, boy, this is getting big. Verse number 17 says, don't worship. You say, I didn't read that. No, that's what the overall suggestion is. Don't worship. Amen? Hey, you know what? Listen to this. You know what sadness is? You know what gloom and doom over verse 17? That really is worship. You say, what do you mean that's worship? Sadness is that you're worshiping your losses. You're bowing down to your losses. You're bowing down to your lack. You're bowing down, amen. Amen. So what are we going to worship? Are we going to worship the what that we don't have or may not have or may lose before tomorrow? Or are we going to worship a who that we cannot lose, that cannot change? He said, I'm talking about, he's showing us his security is in a person, Brother David. And he said first, this security is my shout. I'm not shouting over what I used to have, what I no longer have, what I do have, what I wish to have. He said, I'm shouting over the person that's real in my life. He said, yeah, I will. Oh, watch this. I've seen something else right there. You see that personal emphasis? He didn't say, we will.
That's right.
We better get out of that we will business. That's right. Well, preacher, we're going to have a good service if we all get in it. Well, I've been saved 28 years and I've never been in a service where we all got in it.
Right.
I've left many services wondering what would have happened if we all had got in it. I've seen it get so high that you'd think the rafters was going to bust off the top, but there were still people sitting on the pews that didn't get in it. Amen? Hey, here's what Habakkuk said. Yeah, we're in days of trouble. Yeah, it don't look good. It looks like a mess. Amen. People's taken captive. Our crops are destroyed. Our income is gone. Our securities are gone. But he said, I tell you what, I am going to rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk said, whether anybody else gets in here or not, Habakkuk said, I'm going to let you know what I'm going to do. He said, it'd be easy for me to focus on verse 17. And get over in a corner and give up and pout, my friend. But he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. Brother Craig, I'm going to get in verse 18 and I'm not going to pout. I'm going to shout, praise God. Now you can do either one, pout or shout. It's both a matter of choice. Woo! Hey man, I like that, don't you? I will. That is, it's voluntarily. It's of his own volition. Amen. And then it's verbal. He said, I want everybody to know, yet I will rejoice. Now, if that had been me writing this book, Rose Carol, I'd have wrote 15 chapters about what was going on in verse 17. You think I would have just used one verse? Oh no. Because I want everybody to feel sorry for me. I want everybody to know in detail what's going on in my life. I would have given a day-by-day diary report. And then at the end, I maybe put one verse in there. Yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. No. Habakkuk's not trying to draw our attention to verse 17. Habakkuk's trying to draw our attention to verse 18. In spite of that situation, in spite of the circumstance, he said, yet will I rejoice. Amen. It's volition, it's verbal, it's voluntary. It's, amen, personal, individual. You say, but preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. No, your verse 17 might be different than my verse 17. We're different people living different lives and we go through different circumstances. Though your situation might be different than mine and mine different than yours, our Lord's the same. Brother Brian, if we come to church and we had to get all of our circumstances the same before we worship, we'd never worship. Because your valleys would be different than mine. Maybe you're in a valley and I'm not. Maybe I'm in one and you're not. Maybe I'm having a battle and you don't have that battle. You'll never come to church where all of us are on the same level circumstantially. That's why our rejoicing is not supposed to be in our circumstance, in our situation, but it's to be in the Lord. Whether you come to church, whether you come to church a mile from on the mountain, or whether you come to church in a valley, whether you come to church in a battle, whether you come to church under a burden, whether you come to church in the sunshine, it don't matter. The Lord is the same over us all.
Amen.
And He's the object of our worship.
Amen.
Well, amen. There's a lot I could say there and wanted to. I got a lot of verses, but I'm not going to be able to give them. But the Bible shows us, number one, God being our security. Number one, He's our shout. He's our rejoicing. By the way, could I let this Baptist church know something? That word rejoice happens to be a verb. Now, I'm not an English scholar. You ought to know that by now. But last time I looked, and I didn't learn much in English, but I do remember at least this. Correct me if I'm wrong. A verb is an action word.
Hey,
man. Worship is movement. Hey, man. That's why the devil don't want you to worship. He don't want you to move. He wants you to be stationary. He wants you to become stale and stagnant. Amen. But if you worship, you're letting the devil know, in spite of my circumstances, I'm on the move. Hallelujah. Glory. Feel like I'm having a Super Bowl tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God, amen. Here's something else. Can I let this Baptist church in on something else? We'll move on in a minute. Y'all just be patient. Not only is that an action word, but I notice the word rejoice and also the word joy in verse number 18. Where he said, I will rejoice. And then he said, I will joy. Two different words, rejoice and joy. But for both of them, Brother David, y'all ready? Is in the imperfect tense. You know what that means? It's an action that is not complete. In other words, he's saying, yet I will rejoice and keep on rejoicing. Hey, he's saying, I will joy and keep on joying in my God. Amen? Oh, I tell you, worship will never have an end. Never, 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 never. Your earthly life will have an end. There'll be a day you draw your last breath. Amen. Hey, amen. Hey, amen. I tell you, there's a day coming your earthly life will be over. But worship won't stop at the grave. Worship is not hemmed up in this life. If you want to be involved in something that's heavenly, if you want to be involved in something that's eternal, then make it a priority to worship. Amen? I thought that was good. Amen. Habakkuk said, I can't always... And by the way, can I give you this right here? My problem is I get too much. I can't help it. I like to study and get it out and dig it in there. And even when I get in the pulpit, I wonder, was there something else I should have seen? I got more than I can preach in 5 services, and I say... They might be a little bit more in there. If I just spent a little more time meditating, spent a little more time studying, I might have seen something else. I preached the other day. I don't remember where it was at. One of the revival. It was down at Monroe at Brother Terry Simpson. And I preached that. Well, I ain't going to tell you why I preached because I ain't preached here yet. He said, preacher, you preached 10 messages in that. He said, you gave enough material out. He said, I could take that and preach 10 messages on it. I can't have it. What am I going to do? Lord, don't show me that. Amen. What am I going to do? Lord, I know it's in there and I know we need it. It's good and it'll be food for us. It'll help us. Amen. But don't show it to me, because if you show it to me, I'll have to preach it. No, I can't do that. If it's in there, I want to see it. And if I see it, I want to say it. And if I say it, you should want to hear it. Amen. Forgive me for having such a good time tonight. Habakkuk said, by the way, here's something I found out. Those things mentioned in verse 17 is God's creation. I went back into Genesis and I found them. Who created the vine? The olive tree. And the flocks. And the herds. And all that stuff. You know Habakkuk saying, I can't shout about creation, but I can sure shout about the Creator.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I liked that myself. That was good. Circumstances will change, but God will never change. Let me go on. Can I go on? Y'all want me to go on? Yeah, I know somebody say, hurry up, preacher, it's halftime. He's my shout. Hey! Is He your shout? Is He your joy? That word joy means gladness. I heard somebody say, don't go on. That's right, I'll go back and deal with that. Anybody say go on? That must have been the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. But that word joy means delight. He said, God, you're going to be my delight. I'm going to delight in the God of my salvation. So he said, he's my shout. Number 2, he's my salvation.
Right.
You see that? Verse number 18. He said, I will join the God of my salvation. That word salvation, he's the God of my deliverance. He's the God of my rescue. He's the God of my safety. He's my welfare, my liberty, my victory.
Amen.
Hey, you know what's good? God didn't just save my soul, but amen, from sin. He did that 28 years ago.
Yeah.
But He's the God of my salvation every day.
Amen.
There's no telling what He saved me from today.
Right.
Amen. Make a trip and go from one place to another. No telling what God saved you from. How many times God has saved you from discouragement? How many times God saved you from defeat and depression? And amen? He's our salvation. He is our rescue. The reason Habakkuk is saying, the reason that I'm not going down in verse 17 is because I've got a God that's saving me. Amen. Psalm 27:1, a psalm of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom? Securities. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. He is the strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? He's my salvation.
Right.
Number three. I want to hurry up. I want to get on another one. Number three, He's my strength. Habakkuk's talking about His security. He said, my security is, number one, my shout. It's my joy. It's my rejoicing. Amen. Have you ever heard of Philippians 4:4? That's right after Philippians 4:3.
Yeah.
It's in chapter 4. Philippians, New Testament epistle. Amen. Paul wrote that book inside a Roman prison, uncertain if he's even going to get out, and it's dripping with joy.
Right.
In fact, it's the theme of the book. In chapter 4, verse 4, here's what Paul said, inside of a prison, writing back to the church at Philippi that communicated to him and helped him in his needs as a missionary, here's what he said to him. Rejoice! And again I say, rejoice. Have you heard of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16? It's right after verse 15. You know what that verse says? Rejoice evermore! He's my shout. He's my salvation. Thirdly, He's my strength.
Amen.
He's my strength. Look at it, verse 19. The Lord God, who is that? He's my security. The Lord God is my strength. You know why verse 17 is not going to be my grave? It's because not of my strength. My strength is not strong enough. If it's left up to me, I'll collapse in verse 17. But we move on through 17. 17 is not the end of the book. Devil will tell you that's the end. Once you write verse 17 in your life and all this stuff's gone in your life, you might as well put a period and say the end. Oh, that's good. But there's no the end after verse 17. Because it's not the end. There's an 18 and 19. Hey, you're telling the devil, don't put an end on me when there ain't no end. God's writing a story in my life. He's in charge of putting the end.
Amen.
Devil, you're not writing my life. You're not writing my biography. You're not writing a story in my life. Listen, He'll want to put the end in every valley you go through. This is the end of you. You'll not ever make it. You're not, Brother David, He'll tell you, you know, you're not going to make it. Have you ever heard that? The end. Lord just showed me that. I'm trying to go on, but He's wanting me to say that. I never seen that. Verse 17 is not the end of the book.
Amen.
Don't believe it. The devil will tell you it's the end. You're going through this. Look at your life. Brother Craig, it's the end. Say to him, no, it's not the end. God's going to put a couple more verses in there. Lord to God, that's good. But I love it. This book's alive, friend. It's alive, Brother Rob. Oh, what if it had ended on verse 17? Then all of us would go out of here to put you in. Amen. If this verse ended on verse 17, which is gloom and disaster and doom and negative and darkness and despair and despondency and desperation and all of that, if it ended on verse 17, all of us would say, "Oh Lord, what hope is there for us when we go through the same?" But aren't you glad that God said, "Hey, Habakkuk, I'm not done yet. Don't tell them about the negative. Hey, put another couple of verses in on that to let them know that verse 17 might be a grave, but God's people are not dead people. We're resurrected people."
Amen.
See what you need to do? You need to kick the end out of verse 17 and don't make it a grave.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Rejoice about it.
Oh, God's trying to help us tonight. God's trying to feed us right here. Amen. Don't let verse 17 be your grave. Don't let it be your end. Kick the other end out of it and let it be a passage.
Amen.
To where you can get out of verse 17 and into verse 18 and into verse 19.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I wish our two buddies were still here. They couldn't handle the heat starting off. Amen. But anyway, it's good. He's my shout. He's my salvation. Hey, you say, "Preacher, how do you know He's going to make it? How do you know you're going to make it? CNN will never tell you you're going to make it. Fox News will never tell you're going to make it. Your horoscope will never tell you to make it. Stargazing will never tell you're going to make it. But thank God the God of the Bible is letting us know that He's the God of our salvation. And salvation means we've made it. Hallelujah. What's good? It's good. It's good. Hey, man. Lord, I'll stop right now and just say hallelujah. We could have been the ones on the back row. We could have been in that. We could have been those caught up in cultism and heathenism and wickedness and all that stuff. But here we are with the truth. And the God of heaven is feeding our soul and blessing us tonight and letting us know we've not reached the end. Lord, help us, I'm telling you. If we could get hold of that, if we could get a hold of that, amen. God's wanting to write some more verses in your life. And they don't want to be other verses of complaint and negativism. He's wanting you to end the... He's wanting to come to the end of your story, of your life, giving out a message to everybody that will read your life. That verse 17 didn't do me in.
Come on. That's right. Yeah.
Verse 18 and 19. He is my shout, my salvation. He is my strength. Well, I got several verses on that. You'll just have to look them up. Here's another one. He is my stability. Look at verse... Oh, boy. Oh, boy. He is my stability. Look at verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. You ought to look at all the verses in the Bible that talks about the Lord being your strength. Psalms is full of them. Amen? Amen. Well, I'd like to read a bunch of them. Here, listen to this. He's my security. I mean, my stability. He's my stability. Here it is, verse 19. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon the high places.
Amen.
You know what He's saying there, Brother Brian? He's my stability. Watch this right here. I think this is good. He drew attention to their feet, not their head, not their shape. Not their looks, but their feet. Your stability is in your feet.
Amen.
Which represents your stand and represents your walk. He said, look at this. If you get a hold of this, you'll have to say, "What? The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet." He will make my feet. He, my security, will make my feet like hinds' feet. And if I could get some kind of a picture where we could relate to it here, if you watch these animal shows and all that, how many's ever seen a mountain goat? You ever seen a picture of a mountain goat? You ever watched a video of a mountain goat? Have you ever seen actual footage of a mountain goat? I'm telling you, they won't run around inside them bluffs, run around inside them cliffs, climb what looks to be absolutely impossible. And do so very easily. Everybody down here in verse 17. Hey! All them Baptists down there in verse 17 that thinks it's spiritual to whine and complain and murmur and have a poochy lip. And they're looking way up there. Those in verse 18 and 19. How are they up there? They must not have no valleys. They must not have no verse 17. How are they doing that? And then we're up here saying, hey, we didn't do it. God made my feet like a hind's feet. He made me to where this rough territory is my terrain. I don't have time nor the energy to preach about them feet. I'm about wore out already. But I got studying on them feet. And I'm telling you what's the truth. I about blowed four fuses. One thing I noticed about them feet, compared to the overall size of the animal, very small. See, if you're not careful, you'll think, Lord, it's going to take bigness for me to stand bad times. No. You know why God made their feet small? You ready for this? How many's ready for this? You know why God made their feet small? He made their feet specific. I can't wait. I got to jump ahead and give you this. He made their feet small because it don't take much for them to stand on. Amen. Nobody else appreciate my preaching. I know you do. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's good to us. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. She'll help me preach. That'll be all right. Don't worry about it. She might even take up offering. Are you listening? He made my feet. Sit down right over there, okay? You can say amen to me. Amen. Amen. Aren't y'all listening? She'll be all right. She'll be all right. There ought to be more people in here tonight on her feet than besides her. Amen. Are you listening? He'll make your feet as hinds' feet because their feet is made where it don't take much from the stand. They don't have to have a broad path. They don't have to have something big. All they need is a little verse. Hey! All they need is just a little ledge, just a little small something. Their feet is made to where if there is just a little something there, their feet will grab it and hold on. My security is the Lord, and He'll make your feet, your walk, and your stand such as where don't take much for you to stand. You'll grab hold of every little thing God gives you. Some people's waiting on a voice when you've already got a verse. You need to write that one down in your Bible.
Amen.
Hey, man. Hey! We don't need a voice when we've got a verse. Get you a promise. Let God give you a word. Let God give you a witness of the Spirit. And your feet will stand on it. And everybody looking at you say, how do they do that? I've watched some of them goat videos. And I thought, how in the world do they do that? Run around south through there and it don't look like there's nothing to stand on. Oh, the world looks at us, Brother Matt, and they say, I don't see how they do that. Why are they still going to church? I don't see. They don't look like they've got nothing to stand on. Don't look like they've got nothing to stand on. I can't believe they've not already collapsed and fell apart. I can't believe, instead of being up there, I can't believe they're already down there. But God's people, we have to say, the only reason we're still up here and not down there is because God has so fixed our feet to stand.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hines speak not only speaks about their stability to stand on small objects, but speaks about being sure-footed.
Amen.
I'll be done here in just a minute. We're about ready to go home. You're not going to win too many people to God. I like to illustrate my preaching sometimes. Sometimes I get out in left field. This is good. You're not going to win too many people to God if you walk at the workplace like this. What's good down at RBT? You ought to come on down. We don't know whether we're coming or going. In other words, they're seeing shakiness. They're seeing instability. It's not going to impress them. But when they know there's a verse 17 in your life, and yet they see you sure-footed, it's going to mean something to them. Let me give you this. I'm done. I'm going to save what little bit of energy I got left for this right here. Hines speak doesn't just speak about their being sure-footed and swift-footed, but it also, let me just read it to you. Right here it is. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me... Hey, folks, are y'all listening? He will make me to walk upon... Hey, oh, I just saw something, Brother David. M-I-N-E. I about went plumb over that, brother. You see that? Mine. He, oh. See, my security is personal. But see, my God's your God. Look at it. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places.
Amen.
You ready? God being my security and my stability has made possible my spiritual elevation.
Amen.
He's made possible my spiritual altitude. High places. If you're not careful, you'll think spirituality is drag your tracks out when you come to church. Let's see who can look the most morbid. No. I tell you what we need to do. God help me! God help me! I want to be an example of this. We're to go to church, go to work, go to school, go wherever you go, work through your daily lives, letting everybody know you do have a verse 17 in your life. Don't deny that. There'll be verse 17s in your life. But let them know that's not the end. There's a verse 18 and 19. And I want y'all to know it's what you're telling people with your action. If you want to see me, you're going to have to look in the high territory. Amen, Brother Brian. I'm going to take the high road. Amen. I'm not looking to get down. I'm looking to get up. I'm not looking, my friend, to see how low and whine, complain, and down the dumps I can get. Amen. God's made my feet to where I can, where I can climb on mine high places. Hey, everybody do this right here to yourself. That one you just pointed to, God's got some high places for you. Hey, God has got some high places for you. I know the devil won't tell you that. The world won't tell you that. The flesh won't tell you that. But God is telling you, you've got some of your very own personal high places. And God's made your feet to where you can explore and experiment those high places. Can I give you one more thing? Man, I'm tired. Preaching will drain you. Do you know what else it does? I was reading, studying. Brother Dave, do you know what it said? Them gazelles or whatever it was, the animal that they was referring to then, we relate to them something like our mountain goats. They said that's how they lose their enemy. Because the enemy's feet can't walk where your feet can walk. You say, preacher, the devil's on my case. Listen, head for higher ground. And you look back and you see the devil and devils and all of the enemy trying to catch you, trying to capture you, trying to pull you into verse 17 and hold you there. But we're sending a message. Higher ground. I'm headed to higher ground. And you look back and you say, where'd they go? And then down in the hollow, then they're way down there. Because they can't handle your altitude. The enemy can't handle the altitude of a Christian. If you're on their level, oh yes. I'll be done when God's done. Amen. The enemy can handle your level. I mean, if you're on his level. If you're down there on the world's level, they can handle you. They can catch you, trip you up, and all that. But if you, amen, let your stability, let your security be God that makes your feet like hinds' feet, my friend, that specializes in going higher.
Amen.
The enemy can't do that. And you know where the clouds are? And before you know it, the Bible said the clouds are the dust of his feet.
Amen.
Oh, this is good. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
That verse just came out, and I saw the connection when it came out.
Yeah.
His feet, clouds way up yonder at the top, is the dust of his feet. He's made my feet to get where his feet is.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Glory to God. And when you get up there, your feet, where his feet is, and you get in the cloud, the enemy says, where did he go? Where did he go? The clouds also in the Bible refers to his glory. Well, amen. He is our stability, our security. And then last, and I'm not preaching it, but he is our song. He ends verse 19 talking about him being our song. You know what Habakkuk is saying? Habakkuk is saying, let God... I'm not now done. Miss Paul said, you make your way. I'll encourage you. Here's what Habakkuk is saying in that last statement of verse 19. Y'all ready for it? Habakkuk is saying, let God take your situation and make a song out of it. And oh, I'm not talking about blue eyes crying in the rain. Yeah, we'll repeal. No, I'm talking about a song of victory. Song of triumph. That is one of the definitions. I didn't get into it. That's one of the definitions of that word rejoice. It's the word triumph. First time it's ever translated in the book of Genesis is the word triumph. God's people are not trampled. We're triumph people. We're people of victory. We're not victims. We're victors. Let's all stand to our feet.